Sad news about Hockey Night in Canada. And I mean, you think about something that's been around our entire lives.
Yeah.
And some of us have lived longer lives than some of the rest of us. Seems pretty end of era-ish.
Oh, the theme song was iconic and, yep. You know, everything that came with it. Who didn't love watching, you know, the intermission updates? You get Don Cherry, Ron McLean.
Our condolences to the people of Canada and hockey fans everywhere at the end of Hockey Night in Canada.
Not even being flippant about it. It sucks.
No, I mean, for the old school, you know, you old heads, Peter Puck back in the day.
I feel like it's so important to them. I couldn't even come up with an equivalent for us. Like if they got rid of something.
Monday Night Football.
Is it?
I don't even think it's as close as Hockey Night in Canada. Like, I can't believe when Shabbat told me the news before he went on the air with this, I was like, I don't believe it. Like, just have the show. Whether you have the games or not, right? Whether you have the rights to anything or not. This is...
I still do a Hockey Night in Canada show with McLean and...
This is our gateway as a kid to be able to watch Wayne Gretzky play in Edmonton. You know, before he had ESPN and all that and hockey coverage going crazy. Because it was the 80s. You had... There was no outlet. You had to watch it on Hockey Night in Canada.
You realize if you took today off and not... yesterday off, I would have had Mike Stone. And with this news, he probably would have reworked Whoa Canada, the song he sings every year Canada gets their last team eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you're in. 248-539-9797. Pete's in Chesterfield, and he's next on 97.1. Hello, Pete.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's up?
I've been waiting for so long to be able to call in and talk soccer with you guys. This is just amazing. I actually didn't know if they were going to put me through when I said that's what I wanted to talk about.
Well, let's hope it's so super interesting that we'll have you on regularly.
It's not going to be.
Oh, damn it.
No, just the input on like what happened, right? And was it we just played a horrible team or not? You know, so... Paraguay was ranked 40th in the world before that match, and we were ranked 17th. So the best thing I can compare it to that listeners would probably appreciate would be like Michigan State in football, and Michigan's favored by 10, and they win by like 21, 24. Mm-hmm. We played a decent team, and we played a great game. You know, it was an exciting game. You know, to put four goals up, as many Americans complain about, is a big number.
As a fan, and I parachute in on the World Cup every 4 years, but then I realized I watched 9 of the 12 games over the weekend, and I'm thinking to myself, well, at least we scored a bunch of goals, so hopefully that'll draw in some more people. Give us a real quick, Pete, thoughts on this game with Australia on Friday.
Yeah, going to be another tough game. Going to be a very, very similar game. If Balogun up front at striker can play the way he played, and we have Pulisic playing the way he played, and his knock isn't too serious, we're going to look good. It's all going to come down to the back four, though, for the U.S., and that's what was probably the best part of that. If you're a fan, the goals are nice, but they played really solid. And I could get into, like, formations and stuff, but I know it's probably not what you guys.
Yeah, we don't
for.
Probably don't do it in football. We're not going to do it in soccer, but Pete, thank you very much.
I mean, the key was it Friday night they're playing or Friday afternoon?
Friday at 3.
You limit what Griff Sturmer can do, and you're going to be in good shape. You know, I mean, he's from Adelaide, so
yep,
he's a big striker, mm-hmm. and he is not afraid to use the elbows, but he does it in a way that he doesn't get caught.
Thank you, Gator. Always good to get your insight. I promised an unbelievable Detroit Tiger statistic. Would you say that this team is probably not the most power-driven lineup you've ever seen?
I would say they are not.
No. In fact, through the first few months of this season, first couple months of this season, they weren't hitting home runs at all.
No.
Detroit Tigers PR at this hour has just tweeted out an unbelievable stat.
And it's truly unbelievable.
It's not an over-exaggeration. Tigers PR, we've hit 30 homers in 12 games since the start of June. That's the most home runs of any 12-game span in the 125 years of Tigers baseball.
Whoa.
this Tiger team has hit more home runs in June than any Tiger team has ever hit over a 12-game span ever. And I'll give Tony Paul credit because he tweeted out a response to this. A shocking stat for a team that used to play in Tiger Stadium.
Right. Short porch and right.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare it to May, they played 28 games in May. They hit 18 home runs in all of May. They've already hit 30 in just 12 games. Less than half that total. That's amazing.
Now, again, we talk about a correction factor. When teams are underachieving, they go through this white-hot stretch to get back on track. That, my friends, is freaking unbelievable.
549 slugging percentage this month. The 30 home runs have come in 410 at-bats.
Wow.
So one out of every, what is that, 13 at-bats?
Something like
14 at-bats. Yep. That's incredible. They really, look, it helps when they get five in a game and three by one player.
I just looked down at Twitch and somebody said, yes, Doug, and that's with 85% minor leaguers. Referencing a call we took earlier today about the makeup of the the makeup of the Tigers roster. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Now, they're not going to keep this up, obviously, so they're going to have to find other ways to win baseball games. But than just the hitting the long ball. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. 248-539-9797. Larry and Celine, you're next. Hello, Larry.
How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so comparing the Michigan Wolverines with the New York Knicks, and I'm a native New Yorker, so both the Knicks and the Wolverines were the first teams in their respective leagues to have an entire starting five that was not recruited or drafted by their team.
Cool. Is that it?
Is that accurate?
Yeah, the other thing is, of course, the comparison is they both had a tremendous point differential, both of them, which may have set records also. I'm not sure. You know, the Knicks definitely set it. I'm not sure if the Wolverines set it.
What record did the Knicks set?
I think it's the most points differential in a playoffs. It was over 200.
The Knicks have the most points differential in the history of the playoffs?
Yeah, it was over 200 points. Yeah. That wasn't necessarily done against just San Antonio, but if you recall, they were winning games by 30, 40, and 50 points in the previous rounds.
Yeah, well, we filled our quota on Knicks calls for the month. And by month, I mean year.
I mean, well, the differential against the Spurs was nothing. Four, you know, 5 points. Now it's down to 1 point, to 2 points. 12 points was the differential in the series.
Yeah.
They smoked the Cavs. And they smoked the 76ers. There's no question.
He didn't even sound sure of it.
No. It's impressive what they did. Look, that's the other thing. I haven't had a chance to opine about the great Knicks.
Hold on. According to NBA.com, the Knicks outscored their opponents by 14.9 points per game. It's the best point differential in NBA playoff history. So the per game average was the best. Yes. You want to get in on your Knicks love?
I have no Knicks love. I can't stand the Knicks. I will say this: Jalen Brunson played out of his mind, mm-hmm. and I think I hate him less.
You hate Brunson less?
Yeah, because I don't think he wasn't foul. But I mean, there's SGA foul baiting, and there's everybody else, and I feel like Brunson used to be that, and I think he took a step back from that, and just became a player.
Maybe.
He really took over. I
didn't notice as much, and it all paled in comparison to SGA.
Yeah.
I will open the window here a little bit. Yesterday we did Champ and Chump, and the Chump was the San Antonio Spurs. And the reason was because it unleashed Knicks fans.
Yeah, that is a problem. Yeah, because Knicks fans are horrible. They're absolutely horrible. I don't know if that caller was horrible. I'm just nothing against you, buddy. It's just your whole brethren sucks. They're terrible, and it's going to be insufferable. I turned the channel after they won, immediately after it was over with. Like, I'm not going to watch the trophy presentation. You don't want to see any of it. On court interviews and oh, nobody believed in us and all this. I don't need to hear any of that stuff. I don't care. I just do not care. I tip my hat and I give credit where it's due. That was a really impressive performance.
They completely changed.
They went
next level. The Knicks are the kind of team that make you hope your team can find a new gear because they did.
They exposed San Antonio for everything that you could expose them for. I mean, well, now look at San Antonio. De'Aaron Fox is nowhere to be found. I mean, it wouldn't be surprised if there's like a point shaving investigation of what he was doing.
Oh, he's a big fella.
I'm just saying he played very very erratic and made some really untimely turnovers and just did some really crazy type shots. Wembanyama was nothing what I expected him to be, and he started morphing into something I really don't like. Did you like how Wembanyama played?
No, I didn't. And I think their youth showed. Okay, their immaturity showed.
Well, that's
in a
the
lot
other
of
thing.
Ways.
Is that it? Was it that simple that they were just immature and lacked the experience?
Well, the Knicks winning a championship kind of adds to what's been a really weird year in sports already. And we're just getting to the halfway point, I guess, here. So anyway, we'll get to that coming up today at 1:20. It's Carson Anderson, 97 Day. Sometimes inspires you to do something.
Yeah.
Like National Pizza Day. You're like, I'm going to get a pizza.
Pizza sounds good.
Today is National Fudge Day and National Fresh Veggie Day.
Fresh Veggie Day, huh?
Yeah.
Feel like going to the farmer's market?
Is this inspiring you to do anything?
Let's see. What do I have in the house? It's fresh veggies. I have salad fixings.
Okay.
So I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any fudge in the house.
No?
No.
Gator, if you had to eat a vegetable, a fresh vegetable that you cannot cook in any way, what vegetable
just
would
it
be?
Just eat it raw?
Yep.
This is easy.
Well, I didn't ask you, Doug. I knew it would be easy. It's like you're salivating right now that I mentioned that question. Maybe we should go with Doug first.
Well, I'm torn between the two that come to mind are carrots or like cherry tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
I like cherry tomatoes. Or celery. I'll go with
no dipping or anything. You just eat.
Yeah, no dipping, just straight up. Yep. Okay, that helps me. I'll go.
We could dip anything in ranch, make it say it's okay.
You know what? I'm gonna surprise you here. Anybody have yellow pepper on their scorecard?
I wouldn't have expected that from you, no. So, yeah, it's a good choice. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
It's hard to narrow it down.
Have at it, Doug.
Cucumber. I love cucumber slices. Just slice up cucumber and eat them.
I
little
agree
discs.
That. Yeah. That's a good one. That's actually a decent call, Doug.
I've got
go.
A cucumber in the refrigerator right now. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
There you go. Kang, what about you?
No, I like a cucumber. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep.
My daughter likes tomatoes as well, Gator. She'll eat the cherry tomatoes, whether or the big beefsteak tomatoes, doesn't matter. Eat like an apple.
So as far
salt
as
salt on there, even better.
Is there any kind of flavored fudge? It's also a National Fudge Day, like any your peanut butter or anything along those lines that you like?
I mean, most fudge tastes pretty good. Every time I hear fudge, I think of Mackinac Island.
Yep.
Right? The fudge up there, but I'm plain simple guy. Chocolate works. Here's a maple. It's always good too.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Maple flavor's good. I'm damn near everything.
Yeah, I think it's like once a year, once every couple of years, I'll have some. Either something is brought in or somebody has something at a house or whatever, but I think I bought a block of fudge at like an auto show or something like that, or some kind of convention. It always seems at the old Kobo, they used to always, there's always something there to... Hey,
it's the auto show. Time to get my fudge.
Here's fudge, yeah. Or the golf show.
Fudge.
Yeah. Or the golf show in Novi, and they've got, there's a come get your fudge. I don't know. Fudge is good. I don't love that as much. Here's the truth. My mom used to make some, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
She put it in a tin foil, like a pie tin. She would make it in that.
Yeah.
And it was really thin, maybe 3/4 of an inch thick, and it was so delicious.
Well, celebrate how you choose. National Fudge Day and National Fresh Veggie Day.
Well, maybe Brady's going to have to make some fudge.
248-539-9797. Mike is next on 97.1. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
Sorry to hijack the sports conversation after fudge talk, but
so you're fine.
I did want to make a point about what I view to be the importance of the men's USA team's win over Paraguay.
All right.
Not because it's the best win they've ever had, right? Historically, they've had more important wins. They've had more important moments. They've had a lot of down moments, too. But this ultimately wasn't just another group stage win. This was more important because of the audience that was watching it. The game averaged about 16 million people throughout the course of the game. And I want to say the NBA Finals was averaging about 19.6 million. So on the whole, that's not a whole lot much of a difference. But it's a lot of the younger kids that were watching it, right? The significance isn't that we beat them 4-1. It's that millions of American kids saw the U.S. look dominant, aggressive, and capable of potentially winning a World Cup on U.S. soil. I don't think that can be underestimated. Now, it will matter how they follow up. It'll matter how they play Australia. It'll matter if they win the group stage. But this is very much potentially a foundational layer for future generations to actually care about soccer.
A couple of things. To be fair, we've heard that for a long time about, and you know, we play growing up, and maybe it will, maybe it'll take a team making a deep run. Mike, this team wasn't supposed to be this good, was it?
They were and they weren't. I think a lot of the pundits said they had the potential to do so. They just didn't believe they could. And it turns out they showed up, at least in the first half, when they were supposed to. The second half, I was admittedly a little bit worried that they had the potential to blow things, but they didn't. They held on. They did what they needed to do. And again, I don't think history will remember or care that they won 4-0 against Paraguay. What they'll care about is that the first impression for my kids was, holy crap, this team is good.
Yeah.
Now they have to follow up, right? They have to do well. They have to have a decent run in order for it to stick. But if all that happens, that will be the turning point in history as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, you're right. If they capitalize on it, if they go on a long run, if they capture people's imagination and are entertaining, like there's...
What kind of makes it the next round?
Yeah, I mean, they should. They should win this group. The question is, can they get past, can they win a few games when we get to, you know, bracket play?
Are we really going a week between games? Like is this just this first week, or is it like they start picking up?
I think that's usually the case, and it's 6 days.
Well, how long is this tournament?
Do they play Friday or Saturday?
I thought it was Friday.
Maybe it is a full week. Tournament's 5 weeks long, so you can't go a week between games when you get into the brackets. But yeah, it's gonna be a minute before this thing's done. Trying to figure out when we play. We play Turkey on the following Thursday, so there'll be 6 days between that. So, anyway, look.
Do you think that's a problem? Is that a miss?
What do you mean?
With interest,
that they should be playing more frequently. There's a lot of games. The problem is that they've expanded the field, and so now there's more teams, there's more games that need to get played, and so they
expand the field, and Italy still can't get it.
Take it up with Mike. I did ask Mike, and Mike had a reason. Like, Mike was absolutely out of reason why Italy's not in it and what's wrong with Italian soccer. It is hard to believe. I mean, given how little we know about soccer collectively and certainly international soccer, Italy not being in a World Cup again, because they've missed a couple times in a row here.
Right?
Yeah. All right. 248-539-9797. By the way, one of the guys that we have coveted and talked about, according to Taron Armstead, the former Saint, who has his own show, he says that Cam Jordan, the edge rusher who is a free agent and spent his entire career with New Orleans, Taron Armstead is saying that he is back talking with the Saints. Boo.
I don't want that.
No. I don't know why he won. I guess that's played his whole career.
That's who perhaps he's talking to now. Does that stop other teams from reaching out and picking up the phone? Maybe not. Maybe he wants to retire.
I just think he'd be the perfect Lion.
I think he would, too. I think it would have been a perfect addition last year at the trade deadline.
Yep. But we'll see what develops there. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. It's been a weird year in sports, if you think about it.
How so, Doug?
The first champion we crowned this year in 2026 was Indiana football.
That's weird. I agree with you. Nobody really kind of expected Indiana. I mean, we did the show 5 years ago where we say Indiana was going to win a national championship. We would be laughed out of the studio.
Yes. Then Sam Darnold led a team to a Super Bowl and won it.
Seems kind of improbable. Sam Darnold, failed number one pick of the Jets, turned himself into a decent quarterback.
Famously saw ghosts on national television.
That's right.
The Knicks just won the NBA championship for the first time in 50-plus years.
Yep.
I don't know how weird it is Carolina winning the Stanley Cup.
They've done it.
Yep, they have done it.
And pretty good organization. Happy for Rod Brindamore.
Yeah. Is this buckle up, Lions fans? Like all these unthinkable, like never happened before? Are we in a world that it's sports?
In a world with weird statistical anomalies.
Like, sports pushes parity. Parity means you can get some strange results.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Indiana is national champion in football as much because of the portal as anything. They took advantage of it, and they got a coach who brought a team of exceptionally good players with him and went and found the right guys that he couldn't bring with him.
He did, but I always go back to that 2 years ago when he came on the scene there. The guys he brought in were not from – it wasn't Alabama, LSU, and Georgia.
It was James Madison.
Yeah, which and, nobody is going to say, well, yeah, that's how you do it.
No, but I mean, in the old world, he couldn't do that. Like in the old world, he couldn't have got the core of his team.
But I still think it's extraordinary. Like if you compare
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying.
Compare that to like how other teams use the transfer portal. He used the guys that he knew. His team played against in James Madison and of teams of that ilk.
He went and found.
And it worked.
He took his guys that were under-recruited and had blossomed and other guys from his league and other leagues. Like his first quarterback was from Ohio U. Anyway, so like the sports world's changing and so we're seeing some different results. Certainly in college basketball, Michigan did it with a bunch of transfers. We've seen Michigan win a natty, but and be very competitive and go to national championship games. So I'm not sure that fits the same sort of timeline as the rest of these. The Knicks.
College hockey is changing.
Dude, college hockey.
Dramatically.
Yeah. I have this theory that it's, you know, the Michigan and Michigan States put together the best 19U teams in that can possibly be put together, and it happens at other powers, but the Quinnipiacs of the world that recruit 21-year-old junior players that are now playing against the kids when they're seniors, I mean, it's the disparity in age. It can be literally men against boys, but anyway, things are just changing in the sports world, and some of the results are Indiana, Sam Darnold, the Knicks, and I don't know if there's anything new in the NBA. There's nothing new in the NBA that helped the Knicks win, is there?
No, but the NBA has had 8 different champions in the last 8 years.
Is that true?
Yeah. That's crazy. I don't know, crazy, but like that's...
There's no Golden State repeat in there anymore?
No. So it goes back to 2019. Toronto, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Warriors, Nuggets, Celtics, Thunder, now Knicks.
Dude, that is insane. I guess that's the parody playing itself out. That's a hell of a stat. Did that go around and I'm the only one that missed it?
It went around. I don't know if you're the only one that missed it, but I didn't come up with it myself.
Yeah.
Look, if you're asking, does this bode well for the Lions? I think, sure. Why not? I think the Lions are, they've got an awesome opportunity in front of them. They've got a last place team's schedule, which does benefit them. They don't travel a ton. I mean, yeah, they have a game in Europe, but outside of that, they're really not traveling a ton. Hopefully they can, if they can stay healthy, then anything, the sky's the limit if you can stay healthy. But it's such a giant if. But they have improved themselves in areas you want to see the improvement. You watched last year's team play, and the offensive line was not up to par. It looks like on paper, this year's offensive line should be much improved.
Does the U.S. men's national team continue this and do the unthinkable and win the World Cup?
Oh, please. I just want to beat Australia.
I do, too.
And Turkey.
They should. Well, they're higher rated in the world FIFA rankings.
FIFA.
I don't know. It just, we're seeing the results of a lot of change. That NBA thing blows my mind. 8 champions in 8 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time for a new one next year. Maybe the Pistons.
Maybe.
They were the number one seed. That's shocking.
That was shocking.
That was pretty crazy. Unfortunately, they didn't really follow it up the way we'd hoped, but.
No, that didn't work out the way we wanted it to, did it?
No. Mm. Still.
Well, the draft is, NBA draft is Monday.
Is it Monday?
It's Monday, I believe, the 23rd.
Okay.
So with that, or is it would be Tuesday? I'm sorry.
Is it? I didn't think it was on Monday.
So it's a Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday. The Pistons announced that Trajan Langdon will speak tomorrow.
Yeah.
With the media.
It's Thursday, isn't it?
I'm sorry, Thursday. With the media. But he's speaking this week with the media prior to the draft. We know the Pistons have some things they've got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the NBA draft is famous for trades.
Yep.
We saw when Troy Weaver is here, Troy Weaver is all about moving on draft night. Do you think we see some action from Trajan Langdon?
It's a good question. You know, I was reading an ESPN analysis of their offseason, and ESPN was very intrigued and something that we've talked about for a while. That is that Langdon said before last offseason, he didn't expect to do anything super aggressive. He did not take that posture this year nearly as much, but I guess maybe he'll say, I'll be intrigued to hear what he says, because they weren't particularly aggressive and they didn't do anything particularly aggressive. And he said they weren't going to. So now what happens when it might be more called for? Will he tip his hand again? I mean, I think he showed his cards a little bit last year going into the offseason. And maybe it was this same news conference a year ago. But we already heard him talk. So you know, we'll see. We'll see. I hope he takes a little bit more aggressive posture, because it feels like one solid addition that can be had. Now, yesterday we brought up that, and you missed this, but there was speculation that the asking price for Trey Murphy was 4 first round picks.
Troy Murphy?
Trey Murphy, the guy from New Orleans.
I don't think it's Troy.
That's an overpay for Troy Murphy. Yeah. Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. Trey Murphy, it was 4 first round picks.
Well, that's a lot.
And, you know, we debated whether or not you would do that. But if you're trying to make an NBA title run.
Well, yeah. And if you think you're going to be in the title chase over the next 5-6 years, then the draft picks can't be consecutive, right?
Yep.
So you still get a couple first round picks in those drafts. But if you think you're going to be drafting in the high 20s, who cares? Then go for it, right?
Yep. And the other thing is, Ian Rappaport at this hour, moments ago, tweeting out the Saints are bringing back one of their franchise greats as 8-time Pro Bowl defensive end Cam Jordan is set to return.
Whoa.
We literally just talked about this 20 minutes ago. Decided to put in final touches on a 1-year incentive-laden deal during his visit today. Cam Jordan returned to the Saints building today with hopes of working out a 1-year deal. It's been all positive as his agent. The Saints brass bring it to the finish line. That's a little depressing, because, God, he seemed like the perfect Lion.
He did.
Yep.
He did. And yet it's not going to happen, Doug.
And it begs the question, why?
He spent his entire career there.
Yeah, but if he were a free agent this long, if somebody had swooped in a month ago, would they have gotten him? And by somebody, I mean the Lions.
Well, maybe he knew all along that's where he wanted to play.
Yeah, maybe they said, hey, don't bother.
And you could use that as leverage against the Saints.
I'm either retiring or going back to the Saints.
That's right.
Rico Beard has made his way in studio. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, Gator, back from golfing. How was it?
It was fantastic. Beautiful day.
You had a great day to play hooky. So
it was. It was like 72, 74. mostly cloudy, so it wasn't like sun beating down on you. A little windy, but it was wonderful.
Play well?
I played excellent.
Gotcha. Or is it just like Rieger? Any day golfing is a good day.
Well, I played with Rieger.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
And he had fun anyway.
And I still had fun. No, Jeff was fine yesterday. No, I played best round of my life, so it was really great.
Oh, good for you.
These guys were yelling and screaming about a soccer game yesterday. Because Rico had placed a bet on Cape Verde.
I placed two bets because it was 0-0 at the half. So I'm like, you know what? I'll place a bet to tie. And I'm like, what if they just score the winning goal, like win 1-0? So I placed a bet for them to win the game. Well, they tied. So, yeah.
And that paid reasonably well, didn't it?
Not as well as if they would have won.
Yeah, it would have been one of the biggest upsets in the history of group play.
So Cape Green worked out for you, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you guys got planned coming up next?
You know, we've been following the Sorsby stuff. So last night when the newest thing happened, we're going to talk about that. And, you know, is that somebody the Lions should go after? I just wonder, if you're the Big 12 and Texas Tech, what do you do to each other? I mean, you've been lobbing bombs at each other. Now it's...
Like, how's that relationship moving forward? Hey, it was all just negotiations.
You know, man, we good, right? Yeah, you called me all out of my name, sure.
Well,
that's how it's got to work, right? I mean, Texas Tech, we were just, you know, going to abide by the law. And they said he's
following the judge's orders.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm laughing like,
okay. It's damage control time down in the in the B12.
Yeah.
All right, have a great show, Gator. Good to have you back, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.